Speaking on this program is Stanley McInerney.
About Pentecost. The day of Pentecost. We've heard a great deal about Pentecost this and Pentecost that, Pentecostal church and Pentecostal this, and you think, well, the word Pentecost is in the Bible hundreds, maybe thousands of times. Well, it isn't. It's in there very few times. And I'm just wondering if how many of you really know the first time that Pentecost was ever observed. We as members of the body of Christ, I'm afraid, are not as well up in the matter of the church and its beginnings and its prophecies as we should be. I think that's one reason why today that we have trouble in our midst. I was talking to Brother George DeHoff today. Let me say that he's doing right well. He'll be preaching in Chattanooga next week, and then he's to go to Harding University shortly. Get a little slow around. But anyway, we were talking about it. And I said, George, why do you think we have so many ups and downs in the church? Why do you think that so many of our young people are not as stable as they should be? And he hesitated for a minute and he said, Mac, we just do not teach enough about the church. And I believe that's true. Turn with me, if you will, to Leviticus. Now, I don't mind pulling the corn, but I'm not going to shuck it. As I told Walter just before service, if I read every scripture tonight, we'd be here to midnight. And I don't think anybody wants that. And so it's Leviticus, the 23rd chapter. Now begin with me at the 9th verse. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When ye become unto the land which I will give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then shall ye bring sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. And he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord, to be accepted for you on the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. And ye shall offer the day when ye wave the sheaf, and he lamb without blemish of the first year for the burnt offering unto the Lord. And the meat offering thereof shall be 2/10 deals of fine meals of fine flour, mingled with oil, and my offering made by fire unto the Lord for a sweet savor. And the drink offering thereof shall be of wine, the fourth part of a hin. And ye shall eat neither bread, nor parched corn, nor green ears, until the selfsame day that ye have brought an offering unto your God. And it shall be a statue forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. Now listen to this. And ye shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that ye brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths to be completed. Even unto the morrow after the 7th Sabbath shall ye number 50 days, and ye shall offer new meat offering unto the Lord. Now then, Pentecost is right in that passage of Scripture. I know what you're saying, Brother Mac, your need glasses changing. No, it's right there. It's in verse 16. Can you see it? Where is it? No. Huh? 50. 50. The word Pentecost means 50th. That's what. That's right. Now, can we prove that the church was established on the first day of the week? We can if we take time to understand the scriptures. I'm afraid, brethren, and I say it kindly, that we, now I didn't say you, I said that we have failed to really search the Old Testament in order to verify certain things concerning the church. For instance, let me depart from here just a minute. I can prove by the Old Testament that the church was foreshadowed in the Old Testament. I have a diagram at home. I didn't know whether to do that, bring that or tonight, but I brought this one instead. Now, the word, you won't find the word Pentecost in the Old Testament, because the word Pentecoste is a Greek word, meaning 50th. And so when we look at the word 50, why, we go back and look at the Hebrew, and there it is. And then, too, there's what is known as the Feast of Weeks. Because the time was counted back then in this matter that God has ordained for them to celebrate, it's known as the Feast of Weeks. Can you imagine the church or members of the church assembling every day for 5 weeks, 7 weeks? Be kind of rough, wouldn't it? The first, not only that, but it says that they were to offer the day of the first fruits, because it was the time for the offering of that plentiness that God had bestowed upon them. Now, as I said, I'm not going to give you all these scriptures. I'll give them to you, but if you want to copy them down, I'll be glad to read them, quote them. Let's look at the first one, the forecasting of the prophecies here. In Leviticus 23, 11, 15, and 16, it pointed to one particular day, and that was the first day of the week as a day of divine appointment. Well, let's look now at the New Testament. Let's turn now to Acts 20. I'll give you the scriptures. You may not have time to look them up. Acts 20 and 7, 1 Corinthians 16, 1, 2, Acts 2, 1 and 4, and verse 42. This then, in cooperating with this passage over here, we've got the what is known as the Christian Reflections of Pentecost. Well, here it is. The first day of the week was the day of worship for the early church. It's still the same with us today. But we do not take time, brethren, to really get down and study as we should. I remember a preacher that occupied not this pulpit, but in the old block building, that made a statement on the radio years and years ago. Been a long time, hadn't it, since that old block building stood. But he made a statement on the radio. Some of you may remember it. And the denominations in town called the radio station, which is now WAKI, and demanded that he retract what he had said. What he had said was true. What he had said was true. But he had heard it from someone else. And that someone else didn't give him the reference of the book. And so he called me, and I was at Westwood at the time, and he came over there, and he said, "Brother Mac, I'm in trouble." He told me what it was. I said, "Well, you're not in trouble." I said, "I know just exactly what it is." And so I went to my library and pulled out the book. I said, here it is. And so he wrote it down, taken from the book, Clark's commentary, put down the number of the book, the chapter it was in, the paragraph. Went back the next day and showed it to the owner of that station at that time. He said, well, forget it. But when we say a thing, we should be sure that we know from whence it comes. The Bible, Paul said, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. And so it becomes necessary for you and I to know just exactly where the Scripture is, the book, the chapter, and the verse. Now then, when we come to Leviticus 23 and verse 21, and also to Numbers 28 and 26, the Lord refers to it as the holy convocation. That is, when they came together, he said it was a holy convocation. Well, all right, now let's look at and see what it coincides with in the New Testament. It is the first day of the week, or commonly known as what? The Lord's Day. This is the day that the Lord hath made, said David. This is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. But this, the Christian's Lord's Day assembly, is certainly and must be a holy convocation. We come to the worship on Sunday, or Sunday night, or Wednesday night, or whenever there's a meeting. We come here to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Our hearts, as these Jewish people back then in Leviticus had to do, they came back there, they had to clean themselves, they had to present themselves before the Lord. We do too when it comes to His worship. And so it is then, the Lord's Day is a holy convocation unto the Lord. All right, now then, let us go back once again to Leviticus, the 23rd chapter, and verse 21. And here's what it says. And ye shall proclaim on the selfsame day, that it may be an holy convocation unto you, that ye shall do no servile work there. It shall be a statute forever in all your dwellings throughout your generation. No servile work to be done. Remember this Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but in it, but on the seventh is a Sabbath unto the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt do what? No work. Sunday. Listen, the apostolic precedent is found in Revelation 1 and 10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. I was in the Spirit. When those people on that day worshiped God in that holy convocation, they did not do one tap of work. Somebody says, well, can't we work on Sunday? On the first day of the week? Well, I think that law has been changed a little. But the idea that some Christians have, and it raises my hackles, when I talk to somebody, as I do just about every day, as I said to one person this morning, where were you Sunday? Well, hey, where are you preaching now? You see, anybody at Bobby's Branch that I know, and I keep a pretty good eye on the congregation, I'm not supposed to, but I do. But when we are doing something on the Lord's Day, other than assembling to worship God, we are S-I-N-N-I-N-G, sinning. Whether you like it or whether you don't. This is a holy convocation. The Lord expects me. He expects you. He expects every Christian to be at the assembly. He doesn't stop us from eating, cooking breakfast like he did back then. He doesn't stop us from going out and feeding the cows or tending the chickens or whatever. He doesn't stop us from going that Sabbath mile. No. If he did, a lot of us would be in trouble. But nevertheless, the thing is here that the God of heaven and his Son Jesus Christ expects us to be in the service on the Lord's Day. I think of an old English admiral who said when he was dying, England expects us this day to do every man to do his duty. The Lord expects every Christian to do that which he has commanded on the Sabbath day. Don't let anything interfere with your work, with your worship to God. Don't let anything. Kin folks, no matter who they are. That's what the Lord is talking about here. Now then, let's get to point number 4. Concerning this Pentecost, we'll get into it in a minute so that we'll prove this. I have to watch that clock though, won't I? It was appointed time for the presenting of the first fruits before Jehovah. Leviticus 23 and 10. Those Jewish people back there had to bring the first of the fruits to offer to the Lord. Well, all right, let's go now, if you will, and I'm not going to read every scripture, but if you want them, I can give them to you. Romans 8, 23. Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15, 20 and 23. James 1, 18, Revelation 14, 4, and 1 Peter 1, 22, 23. The first fruits of the Spirit, the gospel, are Christian. We are the first fruits of the gospel of Christ, who are to present ourselves before Jehovah at the appointed time. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the matter of some is, but exhort one another so much more as ye see the day approaching. God has appointed a day, the first day of the week, in which we come together to worship him in spirit and in truth. All right, now then, fifth, number 5. And that is a sin offering, or shall we say the trespass offering. That's what it was called back there. It was an offering to Jehovah signifying that they had consecrated themselves to Jehovah. That is found in Leviticus 23 and 18, and also found in Numbers, the 28th chapter and the 27th verse. But let's come over to the Christian side of it, the New Testament side of it. The redeemed Christian must attend to the things the Lord has commanded in upon the Lord's day. And that is, he is to come and to offer himself unto God for just a brief period of time. The Lord doesn't say that we have to stay here all day. I've heard people grumble at preachers when they went over 25 minutes. I sat and listened to a man one time for 3 hours. And then somebody told me not too long ago that the mind will not retain any more than the seat can endure. And I guess that's about the reason why some... No, I won't say anything about Oscar. That's the reason some of us sometimes get down to preaching 15, 20 minutes. But I quit that a long time ago. But the Lord expects us to come and to worship him in the beauty of holiness and to render unto him the first... Now this might... The first fruits of our labors. You know what that means? to give as we have been prospering. And the question is, and I was just reading this morning before I went to get my eyes tested, that the Seventh-day Adventists give. Brethren, do you really want me to tell you? They give 8.5 of their wages every week. That's it. But the Lord says we're to give Him the first fruits. That's what He's talking about. And not only that, the Christian is to be consecrated in himself to the Lord. Are we? Do we really do that? That's the reason why we're lagging behind, brethren, in our mission work and our work at home. Now then, are we ready for it? And thou shalt count 50. Know what he said? And ye shall count unto you from the morrow after. Get this now. It says, and ye shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that ye brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be completed. Now we're going to prove, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that Pentecost, the day of Pentecost, according to prophecy, fell upon the first day of the week. You know what else happened on the first day of the week? The Lord rose from the dead. Let's go to the day of Pentecost and get the rules set by 3 rules. It was 50 days after the Sabbath of the Passover week. Hence, always on the first day of the week. The first day, that is, we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 Sabbath of the Passover, the first Pentecost after the Sabbath. Now let's look at the second week. Rule 1, Leviticus 23:15, as we've just counted it. Ye shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day they brought the sheaf of wave offering. Hence, it begins with number 1, 50 days after the first Sabbath. Hence, it begins with that, and this makes then the second Pentecost after that Sabbath. That's 14 days. Now note, the wave offering was on the morrow after the weekly Sabbath. The Jews of yesteryear, for many, many years, were strict on keeping the Sabbath day. So there's a group that still are. And it's not the people in Israel today. They'll work on Sunday. Seen on television. Now then, rule number 3 for the third week. Even unto the morrow after the seventh ever, count how many days? 50. I know what, maybe some of you are thinking, this is going to come out to 49 days. It might. But if it does, something's wrong with my teaching. And so this ends the count of the day following the Sabbath then, and the third week, that's 21. 7 Sabbaths shall be completed. Note, if we count the 50 days from the morrow after the Sabbath, as our 7-day Advent friends do, and I had some real good friends, they knew that I didn't believe what they believed, but they were still my friends and tried to teach them right. But you know, you can lead the mule to water, but you can't make him drink. And so they say, yes, that's right. But the rules would apply just 1 year in 7. For example, when the Passover with its rotation of calendar came on Saturday, the Passover with all of its calendar date came on each day after the week. I had a Jewish calendar and I was trying to find it, but I couldn't find it. Now then, the conclusion of this is, and I've got a lot more to say yet, conclusion of this is that Pentecost always came upon the first day of the week. The word Sabbath means seventh. That's what it is, what it means, seventh. So here we've got it. The Lord said the first 50 days after the Sabbath. Not on the Sabbath. Now when our Seventh-day Advent friends come along with that, they count the Sabbath. And that brings them right back to what they believe in, Saturday. But that isn't the way it works. Not only that, they're wrong on many things. And I'm not going to get into that tonight. But let's go on just a little way. I've got a few things here that we need to understand. And that is that when we come to the seventh Sabbath, the seventh Pentecost Sabbath, we count the first day of the week, and that comes out to exactly 50 days after the Sabbath. Proving beyond a shadow of a doubt that the Lord's church, the church for which Christ died, was on the first day of the week. Cannot be anything otherwise. If it is, then we'll have to mess up like we have messed up the Bible. Now then, biblical evidence. When we come to an analysis of it, is conclusive proof that Pentecost was of necessity, according to Leviticus and according to the word of Jehovah, it had to be upon the first day of the week. Now then, the reader, or shall we say, those who read church history and prophecy, will notice that in Leviticus 23, we have Pentecost set by three rules. They've got to be had by these three rules, dating from the morrow after the Sabbath. There's where the real thing comes in, that one word. When it says the morrow after the Sabbath. And so if Moses had wished to convey the idea that Pentecost was 50 days, as the Adventist friends and many others say, if it was 50 days after Pentecost, he could have set its date 50 days ahead on the calendar. But it won't work. Never has, never will, never has been. I think it's rather significant that the New Testament church was brought about on the first day of the week, Pentecost. Turn with me, if you will, to Acts, the second chapter, and the first verse. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place. Who were in one place? The apostles were in that one place in Jerusalem. Something was going to happen. It is a fulfillment of Scripture. And here we have it then. And suddenly there came, now we all know this, and it says that they were all amazed and began saying, behold, one to another, behold, are not these all these Galileans? They were struck. Why, these men are from all from Galilee. But how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? On Pentecost, it was foretold by Isaiah that these things would happen. Not only that, Isaiah prophesied that there would be a new name given. And we find that new name in Acts 11. And the Christian and the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. Now then, as we study this, Let's look into some things that really happen. And we find that if man would just stick by the Word of God, instead of getting off into his own theology. I was reading an article last week by Brother Guy in Woods. It was about all this division in the church that's rampaging today. Just recently in Nashville, in this thing they called the Jubilee. It's not a Jubilee. A Jubilee is a day of rejoicing, but that was a day of sadness for the church. It was advertised both in the paper, the Nashville Tennessean, and on WSM, that the Church of Christ was holding a convention. The Church of Christ has never held a convention, never will, as far as we're concerned. But the article that I was reading from Brother Guy in Woods, one passage of Scripture stuck in my mind. And I thought about this lesson that I'm trying to present tonight. Why have people gotten away from what is really the Lord's day, the first day of the week? And this is the passage of Scripture. And he devised that which was in his own mind. That's right. We are devising things, that is, those that have gone away from the church. They're devising things in their own way. Therefore, they're saying, even in Warren County. But you can meet on Saturday night and take the Lord's Supper. I guess Brother Boyd told you that. That they can meet on Saturday night. Partake of the Lord's Supper. There's not one syllable. It says it's to be done on the first day of the week. Pentecost was on the first day of the week. That's when we're to gather together. Brother J.W. McGarvey, perhaps one of the greatest scholars of the Restoration Movement, he was president of what was known at one time as the College of the Bible in Lexington, Kentucky, which was taken over by the digressive element of the church. The day of Pentecost was the 50th day after the Sabbath of the Passover week. The church has a library. You can prove this in his commentary on Acts. Listen to what he said. The day of Pentecost was the 50th day after the Sabbath of the Passover week. Then, too, there's another commentary authored by a man by the name of John Peter Lang. He's the author of a commentary known as the Commentary of the Holy Scriptures. It was translated from German by Dr. Philip Schaff in explaining Acts 2 and verse 1. Here's what he said. The 50 days were counted from the morrow after the Passover Sabbath. Hence, the first day of the week. And then, too, Pentecost was 50 days after that. It's evident in the evident object in determining the time of the rules instead of by a calendar date was that to limit it to the first day of the week. Now, I have a book here, and as I was looking at it both this morning and when I got home this evening, I thought surely there must be something in there from denominational people that would bear out what we're trying to teach in the church. I've already given you Dr. or Brother McGarvey. But let me turn here to a man that was president of a Bible university in 1895, and here's what Dr. Eugene Sanderson says. And he was an authority on sacred literature. He headed perhaps one of the greatest lists of biblical scholars of his generation. He said concerning Leviticus 23 and 11, 15:16, the statement is unquestionably correct. The method of determining the time of Pentecost, or the first day of the week, limits it according to the Word of God. It cannot be changed. But again, there's a man by the name of Dr. Schaff. Well, sorry. That's it.